2018 World Credit Union Conference in Singapore. The last time I saw you, Miriam De Dios Woodward, was in Boston, like basically almost like a week ago.
I know. We're globetrotters.
I know. So, well, it's great to see you here as well. I'm glad you got here safely. And so how's the show going for you so far?
It's been great.
Yeah?
You know, I will say this is one of my favorite conferences. I've had the opportunity to attend a couple Woku conferences in the past.
Yeah.
And just the diversity of folks, all the perspectives and backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
It is awesome. Soaking it in. Yes. I'm loving it.
So what are you going to be talking about this time? Because you're presenting, right? And so
actually, I already presented earlier today.
Okay, then.
This is how fast the time goes.
Where was I?
Yes. I was part of a panel of mm-hmm. folks that were all addressing the topic of diversity and inclusion.
Okay.
It was fantastic. Everybody came to the table with a different perspective on what diversity and inclusion kind of meant to them and their passion around it.
Yep.
I specifically talked about financial inclusion as it relates to diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And really a couple of angles around that. One, looking at the membership. Does the membership represent the diversity of the community?
Yeah.
And you know, when you look at financial inclusion, there's a big underserved market in the U.S. And what's fascinating, that's the case in a lot of other countries as well.
Mm-hmm.
So financial access is a problem, and there's certain segments within that underserved group that, mm-hmm. that are not represented in the membership.
Yeah.
And so it's ways to address that. I can go through them.
Go for it. Yeah, right? Go for it. Okay. Yeah. Or just a couple of them. Whatever.
Sure. Yep. So certainly that lack of representation on the membership side, that was one thing we addressed. But also looking at things like some of the barriers. So unconscious bias, for example, kind of fighting that unconscious bias mm-hmm. or those automatic ways of thinking that we have that might prevent us from, potentially giving access to folks that might not be like us.
Mm-hmm.
Can stifle recruitment and retention efforts.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of checking our own biases mm-hmm. and then taking it to an organizational level, checking some of our policies and our ways of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
Are we inadvertently kind of excluding folks? So there's opportunities
by,
there.
By like not realizing it? Or
exactly, not realizing it, for example.
Yeah.
We're comfortable around people. You know, they're kind of like us.
Mm-hmm.
We trust people that are like us.
Mm-hmm.
What ends up happening, we tend to hire people that come from the same circles we come from, from similar backgrounds. And so then you can see how that starts to build with some of that lack of representation internally in the organization, and then that manifests to a lack of representation potentially across membership.
Right.
So just being aware of it.
Well, and
a good
that also kind of narrows your view of things
it
as
does.
Well, you know, instead
it
of
does.
Kind of expanding your horizons, for lack of better terminology.
For sure. And I think many of us have heard of the term groupthink, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
if we surround ourselves by people that share similar experiences
mm-hmm.
as
mm-hmm.
us, we all tend to agree with each other. There's not a lot of challenge there,
right?
Which can affect a business.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
And in general, you know, just the business case around diversity. So many stats that point to, you know, just great evidence of the more diversity you have, the more innovative organizations tend to be,
mm-hmm.
the more profitability an organization will have, the more adept you will be at reaching and serving a new market.
Mm-hmm.
So the research is out there, and it's, again, just being aware of the opportunity, one,
mm-hmm.
but I would say taking it one step further, and also being accountable and taking ownership mm-hmm. of this opportunity, just like you would any other strategic priority.
Yeah.
I think our credit union system needs to do that a little bit better.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, we will all succeed. We all want to grow. You know, we all want these positive things that this business case brings, but we need to take a little bit more action and be a little bit more proactive
mm-hmm.
around it. So those are some of the points that the conversation circled around.
Okay.
Yes.
Were there any solutions or anything like that in there? Any semi, maybe semi? Yeah. How can we move forward in this area?
Do
better.
Certainly. A couple things I mentioned, just being aware of it. So as an organization, doing a bit of a check. You know, how, when it comes to diversity, what does it mean for our organization?
Mm-hmm.
That can mean different things to different organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing the global perspective, Lenny, who works in the Asian credit union space, yeah. she talked about mm-hmm. some of the diverse issues for Asian countries. And they're around demographics. It's around including individuals that might be less educated, mm-hmm. low-income individuals. Mm-hmm. So knowing that there's a gap there is a start.
Right.
And doing a bit of an assessment. Do mm-hmm. we measure up against our community? Are we representative of the community? So, you know, similar, I guess, question to ask right. for any credit union in the U.S. as well. Are we representing the communities that we are serving and that the future is, you know, pointing towards? In the U.S., 100% of new population growth is being driven by multicultural consumers.
Okay. Oh,
we
yeah.
have 83 million millennials, I want to say. So the world is becoming more diverse and it's younger.
Yeah.
Does our the makeup of our organization yeah. represent that? So one is asking those questions, just being aware of it. Another, you know, solution to think about to address this unconscious kind of bias that happens, you know, bring in some experts, talk to some partners, some folks that can provide some training around,
yep.
you know, being conscious of those things mm-hmm. so that you can put some checks into how, you know, you think
mm-hmm.
and start with the individual mm-hmm. first. That can go a long way, and sharing that in a group setting as well mm-hmm. to take it to that organizational level
mm-hmm.
Is good. And then working on that representation if there's lack of that. So from an HR standpoint, potentially looking at some of your recruitment efforts, mm-hmm. are you expanding your pool of candidates by seeking non-traditional ways of bringing those non-represented groups into the candidate pool?
Right.
That's an easy one,
right.
Because many times we tend to think, okay, well, we'll just continue doing what we've always been doing. We'll post the position on CareerBuilder in the U.S., right? And we're going to get a wide array of candidates. And you may or may not, but you definitely need more resources to bring that pool
no
in.
Doubt.
So those are
no
a few doubt. Potential
okay.
things
okay.
to think about.
My, as you're talking about that, I'm thinking about leadership, because this,
yes.
this has to happen from the top down. It
certainly
has to
does.
Start there.
Yes.
Sometimes, unfortunately, there's a bit of resistance there. Or I don't want to say resistance. Maybe there's, like you said, subconsciously, they're not thinking in that area.
Right.
So how do you convince? Or I think you actually said it in your response, like bring in experts and things like that.
Yes,
or
yes.
look at the representation. I mean, I think for the most part, people are aware of that, I would hope. You
yes,
know?
How do you take that next step?
Exactly.
There's a little bit of fear there, but you're absolutely right.
right.
If the CEO is not behind this, if this is not a strategic priority, if they're not laying out the vision for this,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be very hard to gain any more buy-in or
exactly.
commitment around it. So it has to start with the CEO. And you know, I think that the facts are out there. Like I said, the business case is pretty clear on the positive effects
mm-hmm.
of you know, diversity and representation.
Yeah.
So it's checking ourselves as leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Are we holding some of these biases? And we all have them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's understanding what they are.
Yeah.
You know, in this last session I attended, someone brought up a great test that you can quickly Google and go online and take. Harvard has what they call, I believe, the Implicit Project. And
yeah.
so there's some implicit bias tests that individuals can take. And
oh,
you can
wow.
check your biases.
Yeah.
So anyone can do that at any time. It's very important
okay.
for leaders to
That's
do
a good
that.
Idea.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And surround yourself by people, you know, even outside of your organization, in your community, folks that you might volunteer with, or, you know, get to meet neighbors, maybe that you haven't met before
mm-hmm.
from different backgrounds, et cetera. Start those conversations.
Yeah.
And even that can go a long way. You bring that into the organization. There's only positive
yeah,
behind
I
that.
Say, there's so much upside. I
yes.
mean, why? That's such a no-brainer. Oh my gosh. So, last question here is like, how do we get there? You know, I think I probably.
How do we get there?
Well, yeah.
One step at a time,
right.
for sure. Being aware of the opportunity, and I see it as a tremendous opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ask yourself what are the barriers? It is, you know. Am I fearful of something new or addressing something that I haven't done before?
Yeah.
Maybe it's not knowing how to address
mm-hmm.
Maybe a diverse population.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, there's partners out there that can help you do that.
Right, right.
For sure. So, you know, think about reaching out to new partners
mm-hmm.
that can help you overcome what some of these potential barriers.
You really have to be honest with yourself, you know?
Yes.
You really have to kind of
really
check
dig in
whatever
and...
ego or whatever you got at the door. Leave all that stuff aside and then get in there and just really be honest with yourself
yes.
and say, okay, where can we improve, you know? How can I improve, you know?
Most definitely. Wow. And I think our communities are going to demand that diversity and inclusion. Yeah. There's already statistics that say that consumers want to do more business with socially responsible organizations, organizations that truly reflect the community. So in one way or another, the clock is ticking. And if you're not thinking about it now, consumers will be demanding.
And that should be the credit union wheelhouse right there.
You got it.
Indeed. All right, Miriam, thank you so much for stopping by. Appreciate seeing you halfway across the world.
Likewise.
So hope you're having a great time.
Always a pleasure, yes.
We'll do it again.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Miriam.